Well, we are walking today. We're walking in Prescott, Arizona. Beautiful morning. The temperature today, I don't know what it was. It was
44.
Perfectly beautiful, I think, is the correct correct answer on that. So if it was 44, well, 44 is absolutely beautiful.
It's warmed up 20 degrees. It's got to be 64 now, and it's rising quickly.
Good morning, Arizona homeowners. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 28 years. It is 8 o'clock, and which means we are in the outdoor living hour. Rosie and Jennifer are in our broadcast headquarters and at KTAR. I'm Romy, alongside with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, here for your tree questions at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. And what brings us to Prescott today is the Arizona Community Tree Council's annual conference. It was all day yesterday, and they had started a tradition where they do a, they do some walking tree tour on Saturday morning. So we're out here at Watson's Wood Preserve, Wood
Riparian
Preserve. There we go. 125 acres that they are restoring. It used to go all the way from Watson's Lake into Prescott, but in the early 1900s, some mining operations all but wiped out the entire area, and they've spent the last quarter century restoring it, and have done a beautiful job. Now, John, I sent you on the South Loop this morning, and what was your take on it?
It was really, really cool. I actually posted a few photographs out on our Facebook page this morning, and it's just amazing. Wildflowers. I saw the pictures online and had lower expectations coming over here, but this is absolutely beautiful. It's really a we caught the beginnings of the tour that is starting, the walking tour that's taken off ahead of us, and they were saying that there's only the riparian areas in the state represent about 1% of the real estate, but they host 60 to 70% of the wildlife and diversity. And this is just amazing. We've already seen some scat on the grounds and the trails, some coyote, and it's just a really nice area. The wildflowers are amazing. I was with Andy Young with Tree Amigos, a good friend of mine, arborist who works out of Mesa, and he was saying his wife would have just loved to have been on this. She's taken her certified arborist test this morning, so she couldn't join us, but she's a flower lover, and there are so many flowers here, and I don't know the names of any of them. They're just so unique because they're a different elevation. I'm from the low desert, and I always come up to these different elevations, and just we're just gawking at every in fact, we were almost late getting back for this broadcast because we just took the walk and had to kind of hightail it to get up here in time for the start of the show.
I figured y'all were taking your time because that loop should not have taken that long. Y'all were gone almost an hour.
I know. Well, see, there's tree signs that are identifying the trees with all the botanical and common names. And so we were stopping at each one and looking at the leaf margins and trying to determine the different characteristics of the trees. And, yeah, it's just really, really amazing what they've done here.
Now, the good news for Andy's wife or any other individual listening to the broadcast, this is absolutely open to the public. There's no charge.
Yeah,
you come off of 89A, turn on Rosser Street, you'll see the Prescott Creek sign next to the log cabin, parked down by the dumpster.
It's only like 5 minutes from Prescott.
We're still in Prescott.
Yeah, okay. I followed you over here, and we were here.
Yeah,
we drove out of town, and we turned the corner, and we're here. So, yeah, I guess this creek runs out of or into Prescott.
From what I understand, you would think because it's south of here, it would run into. But everything I've heard says
it flows
into the lake.
Okay, running north.
So it's going north off the ridge.
But it's open.
You can park. There's a map right there. The trails, they just weed-eated them so you can walk.
Yeah, one of the gals was asking us last night if it was appropriate if she wore sandals, and someone said for sure, and I can see why. These are really well-maintained trails, and, just really a lot of fun.
So that's what we're up to today, but we're also here to take your calls at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you as we're talking trees. We had brought up the point earlier, in the conference yesterday, the morning keynote speaker had a 2-hour presentation on human health as it relates to being near trees.
Yeah, the one of the main benefits of trees, as we all know, is there's financial benefits in terms of shade and providing a aesthetic beauty and all, but they have done a lot of research which shows that physical health is connected to exposure to nature, and even looking out windows at greenery and trees improves recovery rates in hospitals, and just what the mental well-being of those around trees has been researched and shown to be true. And something about being out in it is just amazing. And there's some degree of concern because the way that kids now are sitting behind computer screens and locked up, you know, in their homes and never really getting out. And we were talking yesterday at our table how, you know, when I was a kid, we used to, you know, we'd go out in the mornings in the summer, and my parents would basically say, you know, just be back before dark. And we'd be out all day just running and playing and just interacting with nature. And yeah, just an encouragement yesterday from Dr. Wolf to get outside as often as you can. It's just therapeutic in every sense of the word.
And we'll get to, by the end of the broadcast, every listener should be able to tell what a cicada sounds like.
There you go. Can you hear that?
I asked him yesterday, I said, now, those only are active in the heat of the day, right? He's like, yeah, oh, yeah, you won't hear them until like 10 or 11 o'clock. Miss that one. Well, we are a call-in talk radio program, so let's get started. Our first question this morning is from Dwight, who wants to talk about tipu trees. Dwight, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks. I really appreciate your program.
Thank you.
I have a tipu tree in my front yard, which is probably about 7 years old now, and it's beautiful. We love it. But about 6 months ago, or maybe even a little bit longer, around all the way around the bottom of the tree, the bark started just bubbling out. Like it almost looked like the tree had sunk down and the bark started bubbling out. And then as time went on, the outer bark just seemed to start to loosen from the trunk all the way up to the canopy. And eventually I just peeled all the bark off, and it seems to be doing okay. And I didn't know if that was caused by an insect or a disease, or if that's just a natural way the tree acts.
Well, it doesn't sound good. It might even be something as simple as sunburn, which, you know, if it's on the south or the western side of the tree, it could just be where the bark has burned. And then when it kills the cambium just below the bark, and then that bark will harden and dry up and eventually kind of flake off. The backside of those branches are still healthy, and the cambium can still conduct the water and nutrients. But it doesn't sound really good. I might be good to take a photograph and send that one in. You know, without actually looking at it, it'd be kind of hard to diagnose it over the radio. But yeah, that's unusual. You know, they're pretty durable trees. Sometimes some trees have a defoliating bark or exfoliating bark that layers of bark peel off, and yet there's a healthy layer just below those, and those will shed flakes and pieces of bark. But tipu is not one of those trees that has exfoliating bark, so I would, you know, look a little bit deeper to try to find out what the answer to that is. I do appreciate the call, though.
And that was Dwight. As we clear a line, that opens a line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Tipu is not really a native tree, but you say it's a very hardy one for the desert?
Yeah, they're a great tree. They have been introduced into the Phoenix area with quite a bit of success. They're fast growing. They're evergreen. They do tend to be a little almost too fast growing for my liking. Trees that grow faster, put on wood quicker, tend to have higher degrees of leaf litter, and they also are more prone to breakage. You know, branches that are growing faster are just, you know, bigger wooded. Trees that put on wood a little more slowly tend to be a little more compact in size and definitely safer. And tipuanas have a little problem with their branch attachments. They tend to be narrow, and we often are doing corrective pruning throughout the life of those trees to keep them safe and looking good. But with those things taken into consideration, they're a pretty darn nice tree.
Richard's next on the line, who wants to talk about building a treehouse. We were talking about getting kids out into nature. That's a great way. Stick a little treehouse out there. Richard, good morning and welcome to the broadcast.
Well, good morning. I want to thank you guys for being so generous with your time to help us out here.
You bet.
I'm going to pull over here and I'm driving. I have a eucalyptus tree in my front yard that's about 50, 60 feet tall. The trunk on it is kind of oval. It's about 24 by 36 oval. The top part of the tree is getting dry and brittle, but the tree is still alive. I guess my two questions are, is eucalyptus a good tree to put a tree platform in, not really a tree house? And, you know, is a building permit needed?
I really couldn't answer you on the building permit side of things. I don't know if the city or state would have jurisdiction over a small structure. I really, you'd have to kind of look into that. If it was
as far as I know, no.
You know, I mean, if you're plumbing it and putting electrical in it or something, then that's another animal altogether. But yeah, eucalyptus trees are really fast growing. Were you thinking of actually taking the dead top out of it and putting the treehouse up on the top of that of the tree at that point?
Well, I haven't decided that yet. That's probably what I would like to do. My wife wants it 15 feet high, but I'm thinking that 10 foot is a little bit more practical. And right about 12 foot, there's a fork in the tree, which would be a good stable platform to have two bases for the bottom of the platform.
Yeah, well, that's really a pretty good plan, because if you have most of the growth of the tree below the basic platform on the treehouse, you won't have any conflict with branches that are growing up along the sides of the tree and increasing in diameter, and maybe squishing the tree between branches that are increasing in diameter size. In fact, the tree platform or treehouse we had as kids growing up in Pine, Arizona, it was on the top of a cedar that had been cut. And we just took the top off of it, and it was up about 15 or 20 feet. And then we just built a floor and then some walls, some little side walls, so the kids can just get up there and have a little play area. Yeah, and it worked out great because there were no side branches growing up, past it or above it. But yeah, it's a good plan. They're a lot of fun. I can testify to that. It's still up there today. It's been 50 years, and yeah, it's still up in that tree.
There's the music, so it's time for our first commercial break. If you've got a question, it's 1-888-767-4348.
Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly newsletter. It's filled with timely gardening and home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's rosieonthehouse.com.